KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, just a few lingering sprinkles. We look for it to be cloudy today with showers and occasional thunderstorms, a high of 65. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. A flash flood watch is currently in effect for the entire listening area until 7 a.m. Wednesday. Expect periods of heavy rainfall and heavy rain beginning this morning with additional bouts again tonight and Tuesday and Tuesday night. Total accumulations for multiple days of rain may reach as high as 3 to 6 inches in the listening area. In the news, Republican Congressman David Young and his Democratic challenger Cindy Axne both say they favor hiring more agents and using drones to patrol some areas. But the two quarreled about another immigration-related issue last night during a debate broadcast on an area radio station. Congressman Young spoke about what losing the 3rd District seat would mean to immigration enforcement.
If we lose this seat and Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker, their agenda is to essentially have a borderless society and get rid of ICE.
Young is referring there to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, to which Axne responded,
I have never once said that I would abolish ICE. I don't think scare tactics are an appropriate way to address these issues.
This summer, a group of House Democrats introduced a bill to abolish the agency and appoint a commission to examine how asylum seekers are handled at the southern border. During last night's debate, Young, Axne, and Libertarian Party candidate Brian Jack Holder all expressed opposition to the policy of separating children from parents crossing the border and seeking asylum in the U.S. The U.S. health care system was also an issue of pointed discussion during Sunday night's debate. Holder revealed that he's been uninsured for several years because he has a pre-existing condition.
When the Democrats were in charge of Congress, they could have put through single payer, but they didn't have the political courage. Instead, they threw us to the predatory health insurance companies.
Young and Axne quarreled over Young's record on a federal policy toward Americans with pre-existing conditions.
I introduced legislation when the Republican health care bill was put on the floor that passed, that gave protections, four layers of protections for those with pre-existing conditions, and that will always be my goal when it comes to health care.
Unfortunately, Congressman Young has voted to eliminate coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. He did that in his vote in 2015, and certainly the amendment that he's discussing to cover people with pre-existing conditions allowed insurance companies to charge any price that they would like. So I don't think that the million people here under age 65 and Iowa with a pre-existing condition would consider that coverage when it's absolutely unaffordable.
What you're saying is just not true, and you're scaring people right now. The amendment that I had passed had four layers of protections to make sure that those with pre-existing conditions could not be discriminated against and not be allowed to have insurance.
The candidates also used some of their airtime to introduce themselves to voters. Holder, the Libertarian, touted what he calls the Iowa Compromise. It would double the size of the U.S. House of Representatives from 435 to 870 members, so there would be smaller districts. Sherry Telly of Atlantic was awarded the title of 2018 Outstanding County Chair during a 3rd District Hall of Fame dinner in Des Moines on Friday. The award was presented by the 3rd District Democratic Party Central Committee. Telly was cited for the local party's community outreach food drives, school supplies drive, and clothing drives, as well as her commitment to the Cass County Democrats. There are 16 counties in the 3rd Congressional District, which ranges from Council Bluffs to Des Moines. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker urged fellow Democrats in Iowa this past weekend to stay faithful despite hurt and angry feelings in the aftermath of the U.S. Supreme Court fight.
It is not a time to give up. It's a time to get up, to rise up, to speak up. It's time for you not to wait for hope, but to be the hope.
Booker was a keynote speaker at the Iowa Democratic Party's fall gala fundraiser Saturday night. He flew to Des Moines immediately after casting his no vote on Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Even in the face of a defeat, we can never be defeated. Even when we're knocked down, we have to understand that we are never knocked out. Even though we have so much pain, it can never stop our perseverance.
Booker, though, had a note of caution for his fellow Democrats.
We Democrats can never be pulled down so low that we hate folk. We can't hate Republicans. We need each other as Americans. We've got to lead with love. You can't lead the people if you don't love the people. All the people.
Booker has addressed smaller groups of Iowans and campaigned here for Hillary Clinton in 2016, but his 45-minute long speech this past Saturday gave the potential 2020 presidential candidate a chance to articulate his idea of what it means to be a Democrat.
It's a party of we, not the party of me. It's a party of inclusion, not the party of exclusion. That's who we are.
Booker's grandmother was born in Des Moines, and when Booker arrived in the banquet hall, he quickly found a group of family members sitting together. From the stage, about an hour later, Booker acknowledged about 50 cousins in the audience, as well as his mother and 99-year-old aunt. And then Booker launched into his family connection to the Iowa coal mining industry of Buxton.
We are all descendants of Buxton. Remember where we came from. This is an Iowa story. This is an American story. And Buxton was ahead of its time. There's a book about Buxton, they call it a utopia. Why? Because black folks and European immigrants were all living together. They were living integrated.
On Sunday, Booker and his family had a reunion in Des Moines. Today, Booker is scheduled to campaign with Iowa Democrats in Adel, Boone, North Liberty, and Davenport. Incumbent Republican Representative Rod Blum and his Democratic challenger, Representative Abby Fickenauer, are downplaying their own political scandals in the weeks leading up to the November 6th election for Iowa's first district House seat. The Courier reports that two defended their records Friday in the first of two planned debates. Fickenauer responding to questions about failing to note her change of employment in 2015 when she became director of a nonprofit organization that advocates equal pay, family leave, and other working issues, said that the employment to the Iowa House, the second she found there was new requirement, Blum has downplayed his failure to disclose founding a Dubuque company that promises it can help businesses but bury negative information below the first page of internet search results. Blum faces a U.S. House Ethics Committee inquiry for his actions involving Tin Moon Corporation. Elsewhere in the news, the remains of a Nebraska sailor who died at Pearl Harbor and a Nebraska soldier killed in World War II battle in Germany have been identified and are being returned for final burial. Pentagon officials say 19-year-old Bernard Doyle died December 7, 1941, aboard the battleship USS Oklahoma when the Japanese attacked. The Omaha World Herald says Doyle joined the Navy in 1940. Soon after graduating from high school in Red Cloud, his remains will be buried Saturday in Lake City, Iowa, where one of his sisters moved after the war. The official says Melvin Anderson enlisted in the U.S. Army a few months after Pearl Harbor. He and another soldier died November 25, 1944, when a German artillery shell struck their tank destroyer. Anderson's remains will be buried Friday at the Omaha National Cemetery. The continued wet weather may prove to be problematic for farmers wanting to harvest their crops. Iowa State University Extension grain quality specialist Charlie Herberg believes the wet conditions add a new issue to the harvest.
It's just been a difficult fall, and now we're going to have mold problems in the field for sure. And farmers need to scout their fields, look to see which hybrids or which fields seem to be more and less affected by mold problems and harvest them first.
The wet conditions led to growth issues that are now showing up as farmers head to the fields.
There's a lot of down corn this year. Stalk health wasn't all that great. And so there are a number of instances where corn went down. Well, corn going down is going to be far more likely to spoil in the field than corn standing tall. So all in all, we will have a little bit of a problematic harvest.
The Iowa State grain quality specialist says the conditions of this year's grain is slightly below last year's harvest.
The kernel fill wasn't just tremendous like it was last year, and the kernels weren't as deep and they aren't as big, which means that our test weights will be okay, average 54, 55 pounds, but I don't think anything exceptional from a livestock and ethanol perspective. That's really not too serious.
Herberg adds that the quality of the grain may deteriorate if we continue to have cool, wet days, as there really hasn't been a lot of natural drying days.
We only had maybe 2 days of really good drying weather right after the Labor Day deluge. There were 2 or 3 days where we got a lot of drying, and then we went back into the water again. So the moisture reports have been all over the place.
He says soybeans are seeing similar problems with high moisture levels. Herberg says for long-term storage of grain, corn moisture needs to be around 15% moisture, and for soybeans, the moisture content should be around 10 to 12%. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.